are listening to The Motherhood Experience, a podcast where you are a part of the conversation with moms, for moms, and by moms. Let's jump into this episode with me, your host, Val Kleppen.
Happy Tuesday and welcome back to another episode of The Motherhood Experience podcast. I am so excited to introduce you to today's guest. I'm a big fan of this mom. And I found her through her husband because she is married to my absolute favorite YouTube creator. I will have the YouTube link down in the show notes. So be sure to check out Haxman if you've never heard of him before. You are missing out. And his wife, Kim, joined me on the podcast today just to talk about life as a mom to her three girls. Lovely conversation, and I was so thrilled to be able to sit and chat with her. You're going to enjoy this episode as we launch into it now with my guest, Kim Vandergrift. I am so thrilled to have with me on the Motherhood Experience, Kim Vandergrift, and how I found Kim. She's married to probably my top YouTube creator.
Me too.
We have that in common, that he's our favorite Haxman. And Kim, welcome to the Motherhood Experience.
Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you here. I would love to start the episode with you sharing the ages of your kids and stage of motherhood you find yourself in.
Okay. I have 17, a 13, and 11-year-old daughters. I think I'm like almost done. It's kind of sad and it's bittersweet, but it's nice that they can find food when I don't feel like making it. So
right,
we're there.
That is a good stage when they find more independence in those things, because that's probably, do you find when your kids were younger, the number one question they would ask is, can I have this? Can I have this?
Yes. Yes.
Every
few
minutes.
Or water. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So Kim, when you and Adam met and were married, was motherhood always a dream or a goal of yours?
Oh, yeah. Since I was little, I always wanted to be a mom. Like, I had my baby dolls and I'd make, do you remember those big, they weren't Legos, but those big plastic blocks that you could put together?
Yeah.
They were like this
Duplos.
Big. Yeah. Yeah. So I had those and I would make church pews and then bring my kids to church or my baby dolls. And I would do like my mother did. If I misbehaved, I'd take them out of church and go, you know, take care of them. And then we come back. I mean, I reenacted everything. So, I mean, I'm like five and I'm like, I want to be a stay at home mom when I grow up. And yeah, the dream happened. So I worked, of course, before then, but.
Right. So was it hard for you to leave the working world, or did you know like this is it? This is.
No, I mean, I always wanted to be a stay at home mom. So I was excited for the opportunity, but then I felt guilty because I wasn't bringing an income. And then I felt like I needed to do something else. But at the time, I was part of a community Bible study, which is a international thing. And just studying the Bible and knowing more about that, I realized, I don't know if there's an actual verse in there, but yeah, there is. There's a verse in there that talks about you're in this place at this certain time for a certain reason. And it just like, it meant so much to me. And I was like, this is actually the most important job that I can possibly be doing is taking care of my kids. And my mom wasn't able to do that. She would have loved to, but my father died when I was two. So she didn't get remarried until I had my first child. So not everyone can stay at home. But if you have the opportunity, totally take it. Like, I'm so passionate about being a mother. So,
yeah, I love that. And what has being able to stay home? Do you homeschool as well?
We do. Yeah.
Have you done that from the beginning, or what's that?
OG homeschooler. that's a different story. Like, of course, me and I were both public school kids.
Right.
We didn't go to school together, but when I met him, he actually was homeschooled, I think, from 8th to 12th grade. And so when we had Riley, she's our first child that was going to go to school. He suggested maybe we should homeschool her. And I'm looking at him like he's crazy. I'm like, are you kidding? I got out of school. I never want to go back. But and so we tried it for a year, and it opened something within me. And I loved it. And our relationship is so strong because of it, you know.
Right. Right. Are you the homeschool mom that you have a morning routine and the kids wake up by a certain time, or is it just kind of as the day unfolds?
No, I got to be done. No, because no, we do have a routine. As of now, our routine is I wake up at 7 usually because I want to like have me time.
Yeah.
Whether that's going out and just listening to birds and the life waking up or reading the Bible or whatever. Then I wake the girls up at 8 and we get up and we go to the beach or we go for a walk. You just start your circadian rhythm.
Right.
Get that going and all the hormones within you just get kicked in and you have a better day, or I seem to. And yeah. So we start school at 9, usually done somewhere around, I don't know, 12:31. Depends on the day. Sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's longer, but yeah, so that's our thing because I have to be done because sometimes I have to help Adam video or move something or there's a project going on or people got to eat. But all the motherly things, laundry has to be done. There's no towels. Like, you know how it is.
Yes.
It's like never ending.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Never a dull moment in motherhood. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that with my son dealing with the stomach bug. There's been lots of laundry and cooking and
yeah,
things that you still need to take care of, even though there's people who are depending on you to take care of them as well.
I know. And like, what happens when we go down? It's like, I think I only get sick like maybe once a year, if that. So it's great.
Yeah. So what are some things that you do in your household to keep healthy and keep sickness at bay?
A few years ago, we went straight. We're pretty whole foods. Like we don't eat out as much as we used to. Riley, my oldest, she calls this the ingredient house because you have to make your snacks. You got to make your food. I literally have a video on it on my channel that I literally threw everything out. I did donate it. If it was bad, of course, I just threw it away. Or if it ticked me off, like the fake right. lard, it made me so mad. I just chucked it. I was like, nobody's using this. But yeah, we went straight to whole foods. Like there are exceptions, like Easter's coming up. I mean, but yeah, we don't really eat junk food anymore. If it comes in a box, we don't own it. I don't have many cans. We do freezer or I grow our own or we order from Hunter Cattle, which is like, I don't know, a couple hours from us and they deliver meat, grass fed, grass finished. And then I'm really into herbalism. I'm actually taking a course right now, but I've been studying that a few years now. So yeah, like all the natural, all the ancient ways. So,
yeah. So it's so funny to me because I know you through YouTube essentially, and the algorithm somehow thought that I would enjoy your husband's videos. And I definitely do. Even I'm not a guy, I'm not a DIYer, but his videos are so entertaining and wholesome. Mm-hmm. And I love how he includes the whole family in his videos. And there were several videos where I was like, oh my gosh, if we were their neighbors, we would be friends.
Yay.
And there were videos of you and doing the kitchen stuff. I think it was the pantry clean out on your channel. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and I saw that video and I was like, gosh, we just have so much in common.
Yay.
And so what is it like to have kind of a more public life where it's out on YouTube and your husband is making these videos and you're in them and you guys are hilarious. You have such a good sense of humor about all of it. What is that like as far as kind of a little bit of a spotlight on your life and motherhood?
Well, you know, for a while with the channel that got us really into YouTube, we don't do anymore, but it was really weird because somebody saw us at Disney and they knew who we were. And it was like, what in the world? So that was wild. And we didn't tell anybody for a couple of years, only like our immediate family knew. And then people started seeing, cause we're, I don't know. I don't like to call attention to myself. It feels awkward. And since Adam started Haxman, like nobody knows who I am because I'm not on as much, but people have seen him like, hey, Haxman. It's really weird. So that's weird. And people see him in the grocery store and comment. And so it's funny, but it's not like we're some huge celebrity or anything. Like we don't want any of that, but yeah. So,
and I know from YouTube that you guys are gardeners, homesteaders, mm-hmm. where you are, chickens.
I love chickens.
Can we talk about one of my favorite videos? And I hope this is okay to talk about is when your chickens had pasty butt.
That was so gross.
And your gag reflex was so, I don't know how the right way to describe it. If your gag reflex was so strong or if it was so weak because you were gagging so hard.
Oh, yeah. Which video did you see? Did you see the more edited version on Adam's channel or did you see my full on version?
I think I saw them both. I think I saw them both. Because I remember when I saw it on Adam's channel, I remember thinking, I thought it was more than that.
Yeah.
And so I think I saw them both. But the reason I ask, I mean, along with the fact that it was hilarious for an outsider to see, is what was it like changing your baby's diapers? Was that gag reflex different? Or
Yes. Because like literally I would have to go, once they get out of their diapers, then they're going to the bathroom and they're like, yeah, I'm done. And I'm in the middle of food. And I'm like, okay, go take care of that and come back and eat. It didn't bother me. Like, because it couldn't, I guess. I had to take care of these little beans. But something happened within like the last 4 years. Like, no, I can't. But what you didn't see on that clip is like, I actually did like throw up a little bit, like off camera. I was like, I don't know what happened, but it made for an awesome video. And what's funny is people commented, this is so fake. Like, are you serious right now? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was one point where you are like shaking. Your hands are shaking.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I was like, help. Because it was on my shirt. I'm like, oh.
Right. Right. Oh, it was. I know that my kids and I laughed so hard when we saw it. We're the whole family is big Haxman fans. Well, how do you think, like, when you have grandkids, do you think it'll be able to switch back to you got to take care of it?
Do I want it to
power through?
I want that too. Probably because I would love them so much, you know.
Right.
Chicken, it's like, I didn't want you to die, but this is disgusting. So,
I mean, right.
I've never had to do that again.
How many years have you had chickens?
Four? I think four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember how long it's been for me, but I know it's been longer than that. I think you reach a point where you're like, I really want you to make it, but if you don't, like, I can't help you try to make it.
Yeah. Like, I don't do, there's some people that are super sweet and they take theirs to the vet. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't have the brain capacity to worry about it so much, but also ours free range. And I hate it that some of them got killed by a hawk, but, they're so much more healthy. I don't know if you free range, but I haven't had any of these issues that you see online. It's like, oh my gosh, Bumblefoot. Like we haven't had that.
Right.
We haven't had the mites and all that stuff. Like, I just let mine go and pray that nobody gets you and you have great eggs and no worms. No.
Yeah.
No stress.
We do free range ours. We've lost ours to hawks and coyotes since we've been here. The coyotes took my favorite rooster and I may have cried a couple days over that one. But
yeah.
But otherwise, if the chickens get got, they get got.
I know. I tell my girls, there's like three that I would take. If something happened, we had to just take what we could and go. Like we have hurricanes.
Right.
So we have a bug out idea for them, all of them. But if something came up and we had to go, I would take Pickle, which is our rooster. And then I'd take Echo. She's the one that almost got eaten. But she's the mom and she's so sweet and fluffy. And I'd take Sweet Cheeks because she's got an eye issue, but she's so sweet. The rest... Yeah, hopefully you live. We'll just release the cage. Yeah, I mean, they're birds.
Right. Right.
So, and we don't have that much pressure.
You said something I wanted to circle back on, and it was when you were talking about foods and you're more of a whole foods ingredient household. What does mealtime look then for your family? And do your girls like helping out in the kitchen or is it not an interest of theirs?
Two do. One is really proficient at it. And the third one has no interest, but I command her to. And I make her, I'm so mean because she knows how to make spaghetti and she hates spaghetti, but then she, I'm like, today you're making spaghetti. I'm going to go sit down. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember the question. Wait, what? Okay, mealtime. Okay, so I like to do soups because I make my own bone broth, or when I don't have some, I buy some, but I try to make my own. And then I use the chicken, and then you can make more bone broth, right? So we make a lot of soups. Right now, there's a roast in the oven. Just like those old-timey meals, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Does your family typically have mealtime around the table together? Is that something that's important to you guys?
I wish I could say yes. And we do. It's kind of like half and half. I'd like to do it more, but like sometimes I'm just so tired. I just want to sit in front of the TV. It's horrible. I'm ashamed.
I didn't mean to go there. Oh, no.
No, it's okay. No. Because, I mean, sometimes we like to watch movies, so we usually have dinner and a movie. But we do, I would say it's half and half.
Yeah. And are your girls, like, involved in any extracurricular stuff? Are you chauffeuring them here or there at all?
We're pretty involved with our co-op, and we do Girl Scouts as well. I'm chauffeuring quite a bit, yeah. Extracurriculars. We don't really have, like, nobody does music right now, but for a while, all of them had music. They did horses. Right now, they're just really in the books, so they're bookworms, which is great. But yeah, the co-op, I think, keeps us pretty moving because all their friends and they get socialized. Don't worry, they're socialized. They're more socialized than I ever want to be. But I'm just right. kidding. But it keeps us busy because there's always like some fun thing going on.
Yeah, is your co-op one where the parents take turns teaching different things?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of mandatory. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You got a teacher, you got to help. So.
Okay. Is it pretty large or?
Yeah, I think there's almost 300 or right. I mean, it's right around 300. It's a big one. And it's so big
that
there's a waiting list. Yeah. And like last year, they started another one like ours, because we couldn't take any more people. So yeah, it's a
wow.
big community. So.
That is really big. I come from a state where co-ops are against the law, so they have to call them different things to get around the law.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't know that. Are you serious?
And I was a part, once we moved to South Dakota, I was a part of a co-op, but I think we had 5 families and like 20 kids or something. So you say 300 and that's, my mind is blown a little bit.
Yeah, wow. Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought that was another country still. I didn't know.
Some states, well, every state has different homeschooling laws, but co-ops are frowned upon in a certain state. So what is being a mom like? I know that when you had a dream, you wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. You have these 3 girls, you're homeschooling them. Does motherhood for you today look like how you envisioned it? Is it much different?
I think it's better. I think it's better because especially when you homeschool, you can have an even closer relationship with your children.
Yeah.
And you know what's going into their brains and your values and morals and everything. So I would say we're really close. I mean, so much so is like, I don't want them to move out. Like, I don't want them here when they're 30, but I'm not going to push them out when they're 18, you know? I don't want an empty nest. I mean, I've actually woken up from dreams before and I was crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want the empty nest. Of course, I want them to be independent and we're training them up to be independent, successful young women. But yeah, I'm not ready for that. I even cried when Riley turned 16. I was so sad. I'm like, oh, I'm not ready for that.
And those certain age milestones, they kind of catch you by surprise, I think.
Yeah.
My daughter just celebrated her 14th birthday, but I remember when she turned 9, it really choked me up because that was her last year in single digits.
Oh, yeah. It is sad.
You just never know when it's gonna get you. Do you and Adam have a close relationship with your moms?
Adam is very close with his mom. I'm close with my mom. It's not the same relationship I have with my girls, you know?
Yeah.
My girls come to me for anything, good, bad, ugly, whatever. And we just have a conversation about it. And I love that openness about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you talk to your girls in like British or Irish accents like Adam talks to them?
That's normal. That is not. People think that's fake. We totally change our voices. And we totally walk around like crazy people sometimes. I mean, it is. It's we also talk in like songs and lyrics of old movie quotes and everything. That is right. That is legit for real. So
there are lots of movie references in his videos. So I just assumed you guys were movie people just from that. So.
Yes, it's natural. Like we were for some of their school today, after we got done with the main stuff, I was like, okay, now we're going to prepare dinner for tonight. So we did the, you know, the beef and the carrots and all that. And then I was like, okay, now you're going to help me do the dishes because I'm not leaving this out here. And they put on music and we started doing quotes and the girls started dancing around. I mean, it's like, it's legit. It's not fake. So, we're just a little out there.
Oh, well, it looks like everyone has a lot of fun. It cracks me up in the videos when your daughters kind of give Adam the side eye, like, yeah. Again, Dad, yeah. Again. It's just so, so authentic. So every family experiencing the same thing, I think. So what are some of your favorite things? Do you have a curriculum in homeschool, or are there some favorite things that you just like to go over?
What do you mean?
Sorry. Like, do you have a favorite, you know, book that you revisit for history or?
Oh, okay. When we first started out, I bought the box curriculum. And
yeah.
I don't know if that works for anybody, but yeah, it didn't work for us. So I kind of were eclectic, I guess. But the history that I've stayed with is Mystery History by Linda Hobart. It's a great history. We started out doing all the things because I wanted to really get that in there, but it's since kind of faded into a read aloud because we really enjoy that. That's how we started most of our days, is we read aloud for an hour and go through at least three lessons and talk about it, discuss it. And if Da Vinci is on there or an artist, then we stop and, hey, let's draw some of his work. I like to keep things hands-on and fun. So we'll stop and do Monet's painting and use the paints. They're medium, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And then we'll go into our work for that day. What else do I use? Horizons Math for two of my girls really was good. And then Matthew C, my oldest, used for a little while. Mm-hmm. So, and then Dave Ramsey, Riley has done some of his courses. And I think they're so good. And I don't have to have anything to do with it. So it's great.
Yeah.
But Financial Peace you'll be doing next year. So,
yeah. I love that he has courses that you can work into.
Great.
Yeah. I wish I would have gone through them when I was in school all those years ago.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of years ago for me.
We won't say how many, but 25. But yes. So I figured too, just from your videos, that we're about the same age too, because I graduated in 98.
Oh, you're older than me. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm 20. 2000.
Okay, so around the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys live down south, down in the southern U.S. of A.
Can't what you are tell? Some? Do I have the drawl right now?
What are some things that you mentioned Disneyland earlier? But what are some other things that you guys get to get away and do as a family together?
We don't really take a lot of vacation trips. That was actually our first vacation when the girls were older.
Wow.
Since then, we've done Blue Ridge up in North Georgia, which was a lot of fun. We like the nature-y vibe. It's so relaxing. Like, we love being out in nature. Yeah. We do a falconry every Christmas. That's kind of some of our Christmas. And that's when you hunt with birds, hawks and peregrine falcons, which is really fun. And we do day trips. Like the other week, we went to a go-kart place. I usually say go-kart, and the girls make fun of me. That's how I say it. We went to go-karting. We rode on goats, and we woo! But it was a lot of fun. But we stay so busy with the channel because it is a lot of work. I say we, but mainly Adam, but I'm helping.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a business, and you have to baby that business. And then the girls are so busy, but I'm hoping to do a few more trips in a couple of years, in the next year and so. Year and the next year.
Yeah. Do you guys do any fishing or camping or things like that if you're more in the outdoor vibe?
We've done some fishing. We need to do that again. We were taking trips every month for the last couple of years, and something happened. I don't know. We haven't done one this year, or the end of last year we quit. But yeah, we were going fishing different places. What else did we do? I don't know. We did other little trips, every month.
I would imagine that camping and probably even fishing too would be a lot different in like Georgia than it would be here, just because of heat and humidity and rain
and skeeters. We got those skeetos. They'll carry you away.
Yeah.
And biting gnats. Ugh. We haven't actually camped. We want to, but we haven't actually done it. So
yeah.
The girls and I did it with the Girl Scouts, but.
Oh, okay. Okay. So when Adam started the Hacksman channel, was it hard for you to find out how you could help him in the projects and maybe any of the editing or keeping you and the girls out of the way? Or what was it like to find the balance when he started that?
Well, Hacksman was a little bit different. Like our other channel was called Will It Slime. It's a slime channel. And so everyone had to be quiet. You had to go to your, like, just be quiet. Nobody come in the background, blah, blah, blah. Because it was just, at first it was just hands. And then it became our, you know, like this. But with Hacksman, we didn't want to be so, not militant, but like stressed about it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like that. And as in finding things to do, me and Adam have always been a team. I mean, I met him when I was 16, you know, so we've grown up together. So I'm like, okay, what can I do? So I became the videographer. Editing, I'm not doing his editing. He is like way good at editing. I'm very basic. I mean, if you've seen our videos, you know the difference. But yeah, I mean, we're a team, and that's how we're trying to raise our kids to, you know, family comes first, help them when they need help. You know, you're a team. So whether you feel like doing it or not, do it. And I always want to help him wherever I can, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. To circle back on something completely different from that, when you were talking about homeschool and the box curriculum, how it started, and now you're more eclectic. Do you think that a lot of parents who want to start homeschooling or maybe hesitate to start homeschooling struggle with, they want to do it quote unquote right, and they just don't know what that looks like or what it entails? And so it took me many years before I got to a point where I was like, this is about us. The whole reason we started homeschooling really was for character development of our family, not just our kids, but of our whole family. And so here we are all these years later where that's our focus, instead of the checklist of did we read these 22 pages and stuff. Did you find it was harder for you to make the leap to the more eclectic style and leave the box curriculum behind? Was there a sense of failure or some sort there?
Never failure. When we first started homeschooling, yes, I wanted to do everything that was in the teacher manual.
Yeah.
Soon I tossed those, you know, I bought the set because it's cheaper that way, but I never use a manual. I think I was like that for probably 4 years. And then I started like, I'm only going to hit the things I want to hit. And then, what was it 4 or 5 years ago? I asked the girls, I was like, what do y'all think about if we only do one subject a day? And that was amazing. They were for it because that way you can dive further into something, not stressing out because you need to change classes every 45 minutes, which is what I was doing.
Right.
I was stressing. I'm like, I'm not doing everything that needs to be done in one day. Like, but why does it have to be? This is not school. This is your kids. You are the school. So we've been doing that ever since. And then I really dive into things that are important to me, what I really want them to grasp from a subject, we'll spend more time on. And then like herbalism, like I want to know more about that. So I want them to know more about that because I think it's so important that you can provide for yourself your own medicine. So that will be part of their science stuff next year. That's a way that I have time to teach them and learn more about it too, you know, so they're going to be formulating medicine for school. I mean, that's chemistry, and it's it's living because you're going to go pick the plants that are in the garden that you planted last year. So it kind of encompasses all of that. So yeah, I hope that answered your question. I kind of got off on a tangent, I think.
No, and I think it does. And I think you answered without answering it, probably how it changed the relationship between you and your daughters, just adjusting and catering more to them rather than the manual.
Yeah. And like we do check the boxes that, you know, is required by our state. I make sure to do that. But yeah, it's like, I guess I'm a little more of an unschooler now. Like we do what we're supposed to do, but I push more into what they're interested in, you know, and what we're interested in, what's really a life skill, what's not. I mean, cells, I don't have any scientists in my family, so we'll do that. But I'm not going to spend like, you know, 6 months on it. No. you know, I mean,
yeah,
if you're into science that much, wonderful. And if they change their mind, wonderful. They can pick it up again when they want to.
Yeah.
So
are your girls interested in some of the things that you are as well? We talked about cooking already, but things like gardening and chicken rearing, and do they have any hopes? I think you've got rabbits too. Is that right?
Yes, I got rabbits. My girls wanted to save these meat rabbits. So we saved the meat rabbits. I would turn them loose in a heartbeat because they would come back to their little coops. But we have hawks.
Right.
But I was going to use their poop on the gardens. Never did.
Right.
So we just moved these rabbits around. So, and they used to be in the same cage because they were brothers. And then one got funny. So we had to move them, separate them because he was beating up his brother. So now we have two cages. Oh, sure. That's fun. But yes, Madison is interested in the chickens. She loves those. She helps me. Well, they all help me because it's required. But they all help. And they're good about helping. They're good girls. We do homesteads on Friday. That's part of their science on Friday. So, if we need to pick weeds or plant something, that's what that day is for. And the weekend too, if it needs to be. So we kind of just involve them in everything, and they don't really put up too much of a fight because we like being together, you know?
Yeah. And does Adam teach them like about power tools and those kind of skills as well?
Yeah. Especially like you've seen them in the videos, like that's when they learn, and he'll stop, and it's not always filmed. Yeah. He teaches them that, which is great because these are all life skills. Like you don't learn in regular public school, you know, typically anyway. So,
right.
Yeah, he's done some other things too. I can't remember, but yeah, like it's so neat to homeschool because it encompasses your entire life and you're teaching your kids everything you've learned, which is what we're supposed to do for generations, you know, pass down all the information. So,
right. I found that homeschool has become more of everyday life, having more and more teachable moments rather than just doing what the sheet of paper says I need to teach.
Especially when my kids were younger, I bought them science curriculum and I was like, I'm not doing this. Let's go to the beach. Because one, I didn't feel like teaching. But when they're so little, like they're going to grasp everything. It's like, what is that? Oh, wait, that's a dog turd on the beach. Never mind. Let's move on. You know, the jelly balls and clams and crabs. And like, we've seen shrimp before, and how exciting, because you don't usually see shrimp popping out of a hole. And then the seagull trying to eat it. And that was all science. But, or going on a nature biology trail. I know. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be read a book. Like, you have freedom to make your school whatever you want. Like, get out, go do it. And like your kids, especially before sixth grade, go have fun, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Cameron's my youngest. And I think it was last year. What is this year? No, it was third grade. We were doing a Becca. I was like, okay, we're going to do the book. And like, the book was so simple because she already knew all this stuff. So we did third, fourth, and fifth in 1 year. And I was like, okay, let's do something else. I mean, like we were just flying through pages because she knew it all because we had done stuff outside, you know?
So yeah,
it doesn't have to be a book.
You know? Yeah. I've found kind of the same thing. And then it usually comes out at the dinner table when the kids just start talking about things that they've learned about or are interested in. And I had nothing to do with it. It was just all because they enjoy learning about it.
Yeah. And that's what's cool is I had a friend, Missy. She actually did the yeast video with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she once said that, you know, schools make it not fun. And she's like, basically, keep learning fun. And that really resonated with me. And that's when I became more like, okay, I'm going to gear school more towards them, because I mean, I want them to have fun and learn, because that's how you do learn. If you're bored stiff, it's for a test, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I try to keep everything fun. Like Riley had to do biology a couple of years ago, and I got a Becca biology because it was geared more towards animals. My kids like animals.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also, the lessons were like this long. And I'm like, my kid is not going to read 50 pages for one lesson. It's not going to happen. And so I took that and I made my own. So I put a bunch of YouTube videos in it. She wasn't going to dissect an animal. It's not going to happen either. So we did a flower. She had to dissect the flower. And that was on the sheet. You could do that. And I'm like, okay, we're dissecting that. And then, yeah, so really just gear it towards your child. You know, I mean, you have the freedom of that. Well, in my state, yeah. I don't know about you, but in my state, I do.
No, we can dissect things here in South Dakota. I don't want to, but also with the kids, you know, we've raised meat birds and turkeys and laying hens, and the kids are right out there, you know, it's not a dissecting lesson, but they're helping us process these meat birds and turkeys and
life skills.
They're learning all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's like when we come back co-op and we actually do sit around the table. I love that, the girls. The times you do. I love, because we have co-op tomorrow. It's on a Tuesday. It's neat because they get so excited and talk about their days, you know, what they did in, you know, their three classes and such. So it's, yeah, very neat to hear what they have learned, you know.
Yeah. So great. And so as we wrap up here, Kim, I would love to hear kind of what fills your cup as a mom, whether it's both things that you see from your girls and ways that you refill your own cup, or one or the other. What fills your heart as a mom?
Just seeing my girls grow and knowing that they are morally correct, sweet girls that I taught. And Adam taught them those things. You know, it wasn't outside sources. Like, it just makes me so happy that I've instilled goodness in them, and they love God, and they know to stand for right and wrong, you know, stand for what is right and not what's wrong. But anyway, that they're good kids. And I mean, really, really good kids. And I'm very proud of them.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that the motherhood kind of is filled by the sense of just being their mom. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go off and, you know, hide a box wine somewhere to recover from being a mom to your children all day. I just love that the whole heart is mothering these kids. Even with my son being sick and, you know, puking is not great. I would say it is not my spiritual gift, cleaning up puke.
Yeah.
But it's something that we have to do. And when he asks me, "Can you please snuggle with me, mama?" He's almost 10 years old. You bet I'm going to sit there and snuggle with my puking boy.
Yeah. That's something I wish I would have known with my first one. Like, time flies so much faster, you know, just hold them. Even when they're babies and they should be in their crib, just hold them. Like, like with Cameron, I knew she was our last. So I really like just breathed in those moments. And I wish I would have done it more with Riley. Of course, she has my love. I mean, she was not neglected in any way.
Right.
But she's your first. And so like, I call her my guinea pig because I'd had to try anything with her, you know?
Yeah.
But if I could go back, I would have snuggled even more with all three of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the perfect note to end on. Moms, snuggle more with your kids. Yeah. Well, Kim, I have just had an absolute blast talking with you. I'll be sure to have the Haxman YouTube channel linked in the show notes, and family friendly, educational, sometimes entertainment. If you want to learn how to build four different pizza ovens, they've got the videos for you. And I really appreciate you coming on the Motherhood Experience today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great. A lot of fun.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of the Motherhood Experience podcast. To join our exclusive TME community, head on over to themotherhoodexperience.com/learn more. Be sure to follow the Motherhood Experience on Facebook and Instagram, and please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment below, and we'll catch you next time.